now I can't do like a cold recording.
Well, you could still do a cold recording. You just wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, why won't we? Well. All right, everybody, welcome. Good morning. It is early again on a Sunday morning, and welcome to the Don't Go In There podcast with myself, Bill, and Ashley, your hostess with the mostest.
Good morning.
And I forgot to pull up our notes, so give me one second.
Oh, great podcasting. We have our shit together.
Finally. We didn't have to do that much tweaking with our sound. Ash is in her new pod nook.
I'm going to call it a pod cave.
Pod cave. Okay. Well, I'm sitting in the middle of my living room because I still don't, you know, still living in this little house. My parents are coming to visit tomorrow. Exciting. I really don't want to mess up that room. But I don't have a squeaky chair today.
That's the most exciting part.
I mean, I know you can't see me wiggling. I mean, Ash, I know you can, but...
He's wiggling.
My money don't jingle jiggle, it fold.
Oh, and your chair doesn't squeak squeak anymore. It doesn't.
Oh, we're dumb. Got my coffee, took my Magic Mind this morning. I got nothing to do today except podcast, but I am going to go golfing, and we're going to see if we can drop a couple strokes with it. Wonder if that will work. And I've heard, a little birdie told me that you went golfing.
I'm taking golf class, but I'm going golfing later today. Well, to the driving range.
I went there yesterday. Took my Magic Mind yesterday, too, and I figured out what I was doing wrong. Gotta put those hips through. Oh. Gotta get those hips through.
These hips don't lie.
Those hips were lying for a while, but yesterday I almost hit a guy on the green next to driving range.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But if you guys want to use our code for Magic Mind, I highly recommend it. It's www.magicmind.co/don'tgo, and then use our promo code don'tgo20. You'll receive 40% off your first subscription or 20% off your first purchase. Ash, I have your box and everything ready to go. It just needs shipped out.
Yay!
It took me a minute to find like a little box.
Yeah.
Just a little baby box.
Well, let me know how it affects your golf game so I can learn, you know, use it and then go golfing.
Act accordingly.
Yes.
Ash, you have anything for our wonderful audience today?
Yeah, social media. Join us on Instagram. It's don't_go_in_there. We post, you know, the stories that we're covering, and we have the promo code for Magic Mind, so go check us out there. Facebook page and group, Don't Go In There podcast. Join our little community. Let us know what you want us to cover, what you want to hear. Follow us, like and subscribe on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Give us a little 5-star review to help us grow in those charts. And then if you want us to cover something, you want to, you know, shoot us a comment, email us at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com.
Awesome stuff. Awesome possums. Today is a part trace of Billy Milligan. Today we are going to talk a little bit about what fusion is. That is, what do you call a trigger word or a buzzword of the day? A little bit about the trial outcome, a little bit about the popularity, and I use that term with quotes, the popularity of multiple personality disorder around this time. And we'll see where else we get to, because I still have like 7 more pages of notes. So we might be getting 4 or 5 out of this little puppy.
Oh man, this is a good one to, it was a good one to start our podcast back with. It's a good series. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's like the Billy Milligan series.
Billy Milligan series. I kind of like doing the series thing. It's kind of
cool. I do too.
We'll see if I can keep on doing them. But let's kind of go over what we went over last episode, over the past couple episodes, actually. Last episode, remember, we talked a little bit about his family life and about the abuse he went through, especially with Chalmer. And then, you know, things got so heated at one point that Billy's brother, you know, Jim, grabbed him, put a knife through his throat, and kicked him out of the house, and that's pretty much the last time they've heard of Chalmer. He had a little bit of criminal activity, you know, when he was 19, 17, somewhere around there. He used to rob gay men. He would burglarize places. He was also arrested for rape and kidnapping at 17. And then he would spend a little bit of time in Lebanon Correctional Institute. This is where he gets his first diagnosis of something is wrong mentally with him. They're not sure what it is yet, but they're know there's something there. We also learned that Reagan, remember Reagan is one of his personalities, is the one that was responsible for, well, quote unquote, responsible for the attacks on those women, although Reagan takes credit for the robbery part, he refuses to take any responsibility for the rape part, and he blamed that on Arellano, and she is the lesbian personality who just wanted to be loved and felt lonely, so.
She really wanted the struggle snuggle.
Yeah.
She was responsible for the struggle snuggle.
It's one way to put it. Just try again. Hold on.
Sorry. So inappropriate.
It's all right. And then, sorry, that just really, I'm trying not to laugh but talk at the same time. So where we're going to start off is Dr. Wilbur. If we remember, Dr. Wilbur is the one that was assigned to kind of assess Billy and his mental state. Oh, I'm so sorry. I got Dr. Wilbur confused with the other doctor. Dr. Wilbur is the one that wrote and helped script the movie Sybil. If we remember back a couple episodes, there was a popular movie and book called Sybil about a girl with multiple personalities. So Dr. Wilbur was brought in to assist the original doctor on this board with Billy. So she was described as like a dramatic woman. I'm sure a lot of that happened after the movie came out, Sybil. Like, I'm sure she was like one of those people who are just like, I'm a movie producer now.
You know, okay.
Her head got big. And after the book, Sybil, and the movie, yeah, like I said, her head probably got, like, yay big. Like, I know you can't see that on the screen, but it's big. She attempted to fuse Billy's personalities together. If we do also remember the way they describe multiple personalities, is it's actually each of your personalities, everybody has multiple aspects of your personality, and they kind of branch off. So she's trying to bring them together and fuse them together to bring Billy back to Billy, I guess.
I've never heard of, I mean, obviously never researched this, but like fusing these personalities together is like a way to, I don't want to say correct him, but fix him, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is like an actual thing or if Dr. Wilbur is just like, hey, I'm going to create this new buzzword called fusion and everybody's going to love me. Type of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like this is your fix from back in the day.
Yeah, this is
the magic pill or whatever.
Yeah, this is
treatment.
This is your realist. You're gonna make $100,000 in 1 month, real estate book type of thing.
And don't you know you bought it?
Well, in the interview tapes, you can hear Dr. Wilbur actually tell the personalities to fuse together, just like try to command them, like fuse. And you literally hear her say fuse, like they're just going to do it. And it's like, I think if it was possible for that to happen, that it would be a little bit more scientific than that. But could you imagine if it wasn't, if it was just like, if somebody could just go up to somebody that suffers from this and just go fuse, and then all of a sudden they just fuse together.
Like, okay. It's like, sounds good. I didn't think of that before.
Yeah, it was so simple, nobody thought about it.
It sounds like you're at, like, the mechanics, like, I'm just going to fuse these pieces together, fuse these personalities together.
Exactly. Well, every time she said fuse or told them to fuse, the personalities would have an excuse not to fuse together. For example, if you remember Tommy's, like, the little mischievous one. Well, he didn't want to fuse with Alan, who, if you recall, is the British accent, smart, always in control personality, because Alan liked baseball and Tommy could not stand baseball. So that was the reason they didn't want to fuse together.
He's petty. I like him.
He's petty. Hey, Tom Petty.
Just a little Tom Petty here.
He's a little Tom Petty. Billy would, as a core, would try to fuse them together, but once again, would never work out. Billy would either go to sleep and another personality would take over, or just nothing would happen and Billy would stay the same.
Oh, that's right, because they control him to the point where if they don't like what he's doing, basically, they put him to sleep. like we talked about at the last episode. But it's also, like, these personalities are so distinctive. We were talking about this last week, how they're basically, like, siblings. They're not just personalities. They're, like, they fight and interact with each other like they're siblings.
Well, apparently, Billy eventually was able to kind of get fused together somehow, some way. I don't know if this was, like, a way of Dr. Wilbur saying that her fusion worked and she just, like, it's like, yeah, see, it works, and I'm going to sign off on it. Well, then he was fit to stand trial by the psychiatrist due to personalities being fused together.
Wow. Yeah. That's because it's not even all of them. It's only some.
It's not. I don't even think it's any of them. I just think that she kind of was like, it worked.
Well, remember how we were saying the doctor's last episode was like, okay, you have multiple personalities. And then Billy's like, yeah, I have 10. I have 20. I have whatever. Like, almost kind of like people-pleasing. Like, it kind of seems like this is the same situation. Like, fuse yourself together. And he's like, okay, done.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was listening to the last podcast on the left yesterday, and they brought up a good point about sociopaths, that they will only do something if it works out for them. So, as you can see, if Billy isn't really suffering from multiple personalities, you can see where if he's a little sociopath, which later on you'll see that he kind of is, this could be all for show, and he could be doing it because it benefits him in the long run. So it makes the psychiatrists look like they're important, but in the long run, it's all about Billy and getting what he wants. Well, it should be noted also, like, we're talking about these psychiatrists that are really into Billy, and it sounds like a large part of the psychiatrist community is intrigued with it, but in reality, most did not believe Billy's case. There was a lot of psychiatrists that were like, horseshit. This is all horseshit. And the majority of the believers were in these powerful positions or trying to get into powerful positions. So they were trying to take something a little bit out there and use it for personal gain. And the other psychiatrists that saw through that bullshit were like, no, that's not how it works.
I think because it would be so notable and so, it's such high profile that, you know, if they were right about this, then that would, like, launch their career into wherever they want to go. But the realistic people and the people who do the science and are okay with saying, like, no, this is wrong, are trying to call them out.
Yeah, but then you also got to remember that in the 60s and 70s, there were so many, like, either fiction or nonfiction books, movies coming out about it. Remember, like, Sybil. Sybil was a huge movie then. And a lot of the non-believers were like, oh, okay, most of these psychiatrists are probably just trying to get their book or movie deal to make a lot of money, to give their expertise on it. Because that's what Dr. Wilbur was. She wasn't, like, in the movie or anything. She just gave her expertise, kind of like when they go to cops and ask cops to be like, I can't remember the word they call it. But they, like, they ask them, you know, what's the tactic here that you would use in real life? Things to make it seem like a real life thing, not that a Hollywood writer wrote it.
It's going to bother me that we don't know that word. Associate.
I mean, we do have these Google machines. I mean, I can try to Google it, but there's going to be a
little. We know what you're saying. Like a consultant.
Yes. Movie consultant. God. Yeah, you're good.
What I want to say, though, is I wonder, after Sybil came out, what the mass hysteria was. Like, how many people came forward after watching that movie and after all these books came out saying, oh, I have this. Like, I have multiple personalities because they watch it. It's kind of like when you hear, like, a restaurant has E. coli, and then mass people go to the hospital saying, like, oh, I ate here a week ago and I have E. coli. It's like, no, you don't. Like, you're making this up. Because, like,
a mass hysteria.
Yeah, so I wonder if that kind of happened after Sybil came out.
Well, something similar happened. What this would do is plant ideas in patients' heads that were already going to their doctor and going, you know, I have, like, 5 personalities. I have 67 personalities. So now all these doctors have to deal with this. Instead of actually giving the correct diagnosis, a lot of these people would go in and start acting like Billy did. Just because, they were looking for attention. B, they knew something was wrong but didn't know. So they were trying to get, like, the doctor to notice them. So it created a problem for the doctors as well, because that's got to be a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because they can't focus on their medical stuff. They're focusing on all this other things that shouldn't even be an issue at this time.
Well, in this time frame, like we've been talking about, it's in the insanity defense was pretty liberal, so they were a lot more successful then with using it, but it was still like impossible to even try to win. But with the popularity of multiple personality sweeping the nation, it created a perfect opportunity for Billy to win this case if he is faking it, or if he's not faking it. Because if he's not faking it and he actually has this, there's a high percentage chance that he's going to be found guilty, but with a reason of insanity. He's facing 75 to 200 years plus in prison if found guilty of the charges. During his trial, remember, in front of a judge, not a jury. Now, that's not the usual case here, because you don't really want the judge to be the jury of your case, because they know the law so well. They know it to T, you know? Sorry. You want to use the jury because you can kind of pull at the heartstrings of the jury. You can kind of get them to see your point of view. Now, it doesn't work all the time, but you would want that. But with the sexual abuse, he knew he wasn't going to get a quote-unquote fair trial with a jury, because it was too graphic. It was too heinous of a crime. He already admitted that he did it, and the jury wasn't going to buy the bullshit of multiple personalities. But there was a chance with the judge, because the judge knew about all this stuff.
It's crazy that he had the mental capacity to be aware of that, because with a jury, you literally just need one person to disagree with everybody else to get, like, a hung trial or to get it switched. So that's kind of interesting that he was aware of that.
It might have had a little bit to do. They might have not already known who the judge was. And I believe what I heard, now I could be wrong here, that he was a pretty liberal judge. And with the Billy being labeled as a victim of sexual abuse as a child and had these 10 personalities, it could have helped them with the judge persuading him, at least maybe for his sentencing, if he did get found guilty. With the information with Judge Flowers, he found him innocent by the reason of insanity. Now, that's a weird way of putting it, I think, because he's not innocent. He's still...
Because it wasn't a question of if he did it, right? It was the question of...
I mean, I know it's not guilty by the reason of insanity, but it doesn't mean that you're innocent. Does that...
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like, you're not guilty, but you're not innocent because you definitely did it. You're just not guilty of it because you don't have the mental capacity to understand that it was wrong.
That does make sense.
However, there was people that found that the doctor or the judge, defense, and even prosecution were relying a little too heavily on the doctors. They failed to see that the doctors had a lot of bias towards, because they really wanted this to be multiple personality disorder. They were looking for anything and everything, and Billy was giving it to them, either by not on purpose, like he actually had it, or on purpose. So they weren't looking for anything else besides multiple personality disorder, and that's what they failed to see. I'm not saying that it wasn't, but I'm saying that you, as a doctor or even as a cop, when you go somewhere, just because what you were told, like when we go to a call, the information that we're given is, I think, on average 33% right.
Oh,
so
wow.
All that information that we're getting, we're responding to, we just put it in our head, this is 33% right. And more times than not, there's something missing that's big, or the call is completely different. It's just a game of telephone, you know? One person's calling one person, and it gets related to another person. And it's the same thing here. If you're not looking at all the information that's given to you, and you're looking at one thing that you want it to be, you can make anything look the way you want.
Yeah, they get really extreme tunnel vision. And a lot of people, especially like in these kind of positions that just want this certain outcome, get this tunnel vision of like, this is what it is. We're going to take any kind of evidence we have and form it to the way of, this is how our outcome is going to be. And I think we see this a lot in the paranormal world. And that's why, you know, a lot of people try to debunk stuff. But in this situation, you have to do that too. Like, you have to look at the evidence. And if it doesn't fit your scope, then you have to consider other things. And they're not doing that. They want it to be multiple personality, and that's it. Just period. Yeah,
exactly. Most people thought Billy was one of the greatest con men of all time. But some, including some prosecuting attorneys, some victims, knew that there was something up with Billy. Just could not put their thumb on it. Did not think it. It might not have been multiple personality, but there was something there. Regardless of people's feelings, he was committed to Athens Mental Health Center in Athens, Ohio, which was a minimal security institution and really accessible. Leaving, coming in, whatever. Kind of like the mental health center in Psych. Kind of like easily coming in, easily going out.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. David Call was the doctor in charge of Billy during his stay at Athens. However, Call really wasn't 100% board-certified psychiatrist. He got most of his training in the medical field during his, residency. But he went in as a medical doctor, not as a psychiatrist. But he was appointed the head psychiatrist of this place because of the in-field training that he got.
I feel like that sounds sketchy.
Yeah, a lot of things in the 70s were sketchy. This meant that he would need to be supervised by a board-certified psychiatrist during any of his sessions with Billy. They used a television system, kind of similar to what we're doing right now, Ash. Like, you're viewing me through a thing. But somehow, in the 70s technology, they literally set it up through a video recorder and a TV. And somehow transmitted it. I don't know how they did it, but that was high-tech stuff back then. So
that is very high-tech. High-techy-tech.
He was supervised by Dr. Walter Knopp. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's K-N-O-P-P. Build Billy back to a productive citizen through art therapy, which is kind of cool. You know, let him draw out what he's feeling at the time, because I think that's his way of communicating. Remember we talked about before, Billy did a lot of drawings. They might have not have been... Well, they went from really, really good to really bad, depending on the personality that was active at the time. He would also go through one-on-one consultations. He would take some classes. This was all to build Billy back to a productive citizen again, and maybe one day release him back out. During these one-on-one consultations, Call would use hypnosis and bring out a personality or reflect on an incident. According to staff, when Billy came out of the trance, seeming like a totally different person. So he would be Billy, go into trance, come out and be Reagan or Tommy or Alan, whoever was getting called out at the time.
That's really interesting that they had the, I don't want to say the power, but the ability to call a personality forward. I don't know how multiple personalities work in this sense. Like, it seems like some people have more control over who comes forward, but it seems like Billy had a lot of control in that aspect, or the personalities did.
And it could have been the hypnotic state as well. I mean,
yeah,
we all know what actually happens during hypnosis. You're not like, you don't turn into a bird when you turn into a bird. When you're in that trance, you're very,
it's like the power suggestive. Of suggest. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that's what ultimately they kind of feel was going on, that Billy's in this hypnotic state. You told him to do something, he's going to do it. As time passed, the staff reached out to Daniel Keyes, an author. So here we go again, someone trying to make money. I actually have this little section called Cash Cow, and we'll find out here in a minute. To write a book about Billy and his story, the family and Billy agreed to do the book since they were under the assumption that half of the proceeds would go to Billy and the other half would go to Keyes. Keyes and Billy would meet regularly for interviews, and Keyes had access to all the tapes that were made at the Harding's Hospital. That's where he got evaluated before the trial. And he had his meetings at Athens, so he pretty much was able to come and go as he pleased. Keyes claimed that Billy had written to him as Reagan in a Croatian language, which was authenticated by numerous universities. So if we remember, Reagan talks in a Croatian-type accent. So when he wrote to him in like Croatian, he was pretty surprised. Like, Billy should not know Croatian language at all.
Yeah, because he never traveled there. He never traveled internationally. So him picking this up, I mean, that's not the easiest language to speak or write.
No, and like I said, he got it authenticated by numerous universities, or so Keyes says. I don't actually know if he did or not, but
it could all be forged too, so.
Could be. During his stay at Athens, Billy started to show other personalities, later called the Undesirables. So he has the core group of 10, and now all of a sudden, through the power of hypnosis, he has 24. So he creates 14 more called the Undesirables. This caused many people who were believers to become skeptical. Rightfully so. I mean, now that you have a book coming, you have an author, you have all this attention, and 14 more show up.
Yeah, it's like, where were these guys, and why weren't they coming forward?
According to Keyes, as soon as he was about to give up hope in writing the book, a successful book, he had met the personality called the Teacher. The Teacher described as the most articulate and intelligent person Keyes has ever met. So once again, now we're gonna see a trend here on a lot of these things. Billy gets a book or an author coming, and all of a sudden 14 personalities show up. He's about to stop writing the book, and now this personality called the Teacher comes out, and he's articulate and intelligent. It's almost like when Billy starts to lose being the most popular guy there, he starts back over.
Yeah, he doesn't want the attention to go off of him, and it's almost like he doesn't want to be alone, like even though you have all these personalities, but he's like, this person's going to go away because they don't have anything to write about. Let me create something to keep him here.
Even Dr. Cal felt intrigued to continue this case because of the positive feedback he was getting. The attention he was getting to be in a book, he had some TV shows calling him. So you can see where he would want to keep the show going, lack of a better term. He saw what happened with Dr. Wilbur and Sybil and probably figured out now that he had his cash cow and would definitely be able to make some money off of him. This started getting the attention of local governing bodies, specifically two legislators, Mike Stenziano.
Oh, that's fancy.
And Claire Ball. Mike was a Democrat and Ball was a Republican. So you see crossing the aisles in this situation, which we know now never happens, but you could see where they were starting to be like, well, they were either thinking at the beginning, somebody's going to take advantage of Billy, or Billy's going to take advantage of the situation as well.
Oh, 100%. It's very rare that they agree on anything.
And it's probably because they're losing out on money.
That's 100%.
Time to put the conspiracy cap on. Sorry. So they started tipping off local reporters. That some shady business was going on with Milligan's financial affairs and Dr. Call's conflict of interest. There was also rumblings about a movie to be made about Billy. Needless to say, the word always got out to the community thinking that Billy would become rich off of his crimes, and that didn't sit well. I mean, it shouldn't sit well. You shouldn't be able to commit a crime, regardless of your mental state at the time, and make money off of it. There is actual victims that aren't getting anything, and they have to live with that trauma, and you're going to sit there and going to make money?
Yeah. No, you're not. Nope. Like, that's just wrong. So, it's just so frustrating that, like, everyone was jumping to make these books and to make these movies and didn't even think twice about, like, yeah, the proceeds are going to go to Billy. Like, what about his victims? Like,
oh, they were totally disregarded.
Exactly. Like,
not even thought of.
You're making the movie and book about them.
Yeah, this doesn't occur without them.
Exactly.
Well, the two legislators that sponsored Bill actually called it Milligan's Law, and you guys have probably heard this a couple times in other podcasts. Basically, they wrote this to keep people from making money off of their crimes, and any money made would be forfeited to the state. Now, I don't know much about the bill. I'm not about to read a legislation bill. I've read a couple, and it is a snooze fest. Half of it doesn't make sense because they don't want it to make sense to you. But what I think, if it doesn't go to the victims, if they do make money, because eventually they will make money of whatever they do, it should go to the victims, not to just the state. So I hope that is written in there, but I doubt it.
I'll try to research this because now I'm kind of interested. Once it goes to the state, where does it go? So I'll try to find that answer. Yeah.
I can tell you right now, nobody probably knows. There's no receipts, Kip. It's the government. I work for the government, so I know where money goes missing all the time. I know that's not what you want to hear, but...
That's frustrating. That's very frustrating.
Well, this caused a little bit of frustration with Billy's attorney. Basically, he was arguing. He kind of had a decent argument that it shouldn't affect, like, you can call it Milligan's Law and all that stuff, but all the contracts and things were signed before the bill was passed, so it shouldn't be retroactive. However, they lost that.
So they were saying that because Billy was making money before this law was put together, that he should keep his money. He should be entitled to it. But that he lost that.
Yeah. Right? They're basically... Well, no, actually, I think he ended up making money. So that's what I was talking about. With this documentary, it was very hard to tell what was going on chronologically. So there could have been some things that he missed out on. It could have been that the bill was thrown through the government but didn't get passed until a lot later. That's what one thing I was kind of confused about, and I wish I would have went back and did some research into this. But what I think actually happened is this law started being pushed through a little later in Billy's life, and then all the contracts that he signed prior, like the book deal, the movies that were coming up, that's when it all took effect. So he lost on a lot of money, because I do know he made money on his art for a little bit, but that wasn't on his crimes either. So that's what I'm saying. It was very hard to follow along, but I think he could make money on his art because it wasn't on his crimes. But the movie and the book, when they talked about his crimes, that's when they kind of stepped in.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Well, all this legality stuff was going on, his, you know, just like what we were talking about before, the money and everything, and still getting evaluated to see if he's still not able to stand trial or whatever was going on with that. The doctors at Athens stated that, in their professional opinion, Billy is showing marketable improvement and starting to grant him more freedoms. A.K.A. he can now leave the hospital and go back out.
That's a terrible idea.
We always talk about either early releases from jail, or just straight on not even watching them on parole or probation, something happens.
Here's the thing, like, I'm not, like, against, like, people being reformed and being released, but, like, let's look at the crime that they did and their mental state, because a lot of people are being let out who murder and rape, and you don't think that they're going to do that again?
Well, it's just like that guy in, what was it, Wisconsin, when he ran over a bunch of people at the parade?
Yeah.
He was literally released on, like, no bail for a violent crime.
It's like...
And it happens all the time.
It happens all the effing time.
Not saying people can't be reformed, but let's just be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, let's let the people who have, like, an ounce of weed on them. Like, they're not hurting anybody.
No.
Let them out.
No, and that's coming from a narcotic guy.
Yeah.
So, let them go. It's fine. Obviously, there's mixed feelings from that community. Let's not forget, Athens isn't in the middle of nowhere. It's in a small town. And basically, that is where everybody works, is Athens Mental Hospital. That's what creates the town. So when Billy's released, people are like, whoa, wait a second. Can we, like, have a discussion? Can we have, like, a forum? Can we just talk about this?
It's like, hi, can we have a say? Let's not do this.
But some people were like, I think he should be let out, and I think it would be good to have a second chance. And it's like, okay, a second chance is like tax invasion. Let's let them have a second chance. His second chance is rape. Like, he can do it again, because usually when a rapist doesn't just rape once if they're not caught.
And typically, that's not their first offense. I mean, he had other little petty stuff leading up to it. So you don't think this is on the incline of something worse happening? Like, you're fucking wrong. What, are we just going to slap his wrist and be like, don't you do that again?
Don't you do that. No.
No.
Boop him on the nose and say no. Milligan started creating his paintings. Some of them were selling for thousands of dollars. Now, we know, like, Zach Bagans does this with, I can't remember the serial killer that he buys his paintings off of.
Was it Ed Gein?
No.
I think he has some from Charlie Manson. I think he did some artwork. What's the other Ed Gein? Super embarrassing for someone who likes the paranormal.
John Wayne Gacy's.
Yeah, the clown.
And the clown portrait.
A lot of these serial killers do a lot of artwork, and Zach is a huge collector of those.
So this is where we're talking about, you know, he made thousands of dollars is because they had nothing to do with his crimes. He was kind of a free man. He wasn't guilty. He wasn't incarcerated. he had freedoms to leave, so he was just selling his paintings, and they were selling because of who he is, which is usually why paintings sell anyway. Because if you see a lot of paintings that are just dots and scribbles and lines, and you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Why did that sell for $4 million? It's because some person that likes another person bought it.
Also, but I guess it's super weird. Like, did you hear, it was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, definitely before the pandemic, but someone sold, it was a white canvas with like a banana duct taped to it, and it sold for like $2 million. And then obviously a banana is going to go fucking rotten. Like,
I really can't say anything because I've been buying NFTs and I've made some money off of them. I don't understand them, but they make me money, so I don't care. But that's even worse because you can just copy and paste it.
Yeah.
That's the joke. That's the joke. But anyway, he had so much like freedoms that he was able to go out and buy a car. And he left it on the grounds of the health center and was treated differently than every patient there. He was basically allowed to do whatever he wanted. He was king shit. And that's the story of Billy from now on. When he is not king shit, something happens with him just out of nowhere.
But you know what? It speaks to how manipulative he can be. And it's just like Ed Gein, who like befriended the cops, and the cops didn't believe like this is what he did. Mm-hmm. I hope I got the right Ed. Ed Kemper. Oh, fuck. One of them, you know.
One of the Eds.
But a lot of these, like even, you know, Ted Bundy friended the people at the hotline that he worked for. And there was like people who could not believe that, you know, he did all these things. It sounds like Billy is very, like, almost chummy with people, and they're giving him all these, like, relaxed rules and, like, oh, you're good. You know what I mean?
Oh, I completely understand. Now, if we move back to the legislators, they saw what Billy was doing and all the freedoms he was getting, and they were rightfully pretty annoyed with it. Remember, after all that has happened, he still committed rape. That was never disputed. We never said, oh, there's might not have been Billy. It was 100% Billy all the time. It was just his mental state that was in question. Now he's walking around freely in a small town of Athens with, like, no supervision at all. So they proceeded to create a bill stated if a hospital deemed a patient safe to walk freely among society, they must request the request must go through the courts. So they are the ones releasing him. Because technically, he's still in state custody. Just because you're found not guilty by a reason of insanity, you're still confined to a state hospital. So they're saying that the legality of it, of him being released, should go through the courts and a request should be made, which I think is should be done because the courts are the ones that put everything in motion. So they should be the ones deeming him good to go.
Now, is he living at the hospital and able just to come and go?
Pretty much. I'm sure. I think there was a couple parameters that he had to go by, but I'm sure it was like a work release thing where you're allowed to leave from this time and this time, but you had to be back at this time.
So, yeah, technically he's in the state's custody.
Yeah, it's like on probation at a hospital. However, Billy had a couple run-ins, and he had a couple problems during his granted extra freedoms at Athens.
Oh, who's shocked? Nobody.
Once he was caught providing drugs and alcohol to young women at the hospital, and then went off to one of the orchards that's on hospital grounds and started partying and having sex with them.
Oh, my God. I don't want to say, like, how stupid can you be, but, like, how stupid can you be?
That'll be the title of this episode.
Yes.
There have been 2 reports of women patients that have been raped. A security guard observed Billy with one of those women before the incident. So they don't know if it was Billy. She reported being raped. They never found out who it was. But surprise, surprise, the last person to see with her was Billy.
I mean, needless if we're going to put some bets on it.
I'm going to go with probably 2-1 odds on that one.